Now we find out there's an open circuit somewhere on the button close to the battery. I better make sure. See, and I've also got the world's most dangerous phone. So, yes, it's the Note. Actually, this is the replacement. So, this, my wife says,
don't put it in your pocket.
Okay. So, anyway, one of the things that I'm aware of, you know, based on my personal experience with 346, is that, like I said, it's a moving target. So I've got some tips for you. Now, the other thing that I would recommend for anybody is, of course, there's a certification exam prep session on things just in general to know if you're about to tackle your first certification exams. And the other thing that I was kind of talking about very early on with just some folks that were hanging out, I'm going to throw in some sample questions up here. Don't focus on these sample questions. Maybe focus on the topic and some of the details that pop up, but you're not going to see these questions on any certification exam. I can't tell you about the questions that you would see on a certification exam because I think we've all read that little preamble that pops up at the beginning of the exam that says, I won't talk about this. So I've got to be careful. I can't say trust me. I think trust me was said enough last night, don't you think? I wish I could just tell you all, these are the questions. This is where you would find the answer. I wouldn't say this is the answer, but I'd love to be able to steer you towards the white paper or the TechNet article that tells you exactly what you need for that. I can't do that. But we can talk about this. And by the way, one thing that I want to emphasize, I'm not a traditional stand in front of the room and you guys, everybody be quiet and listen to me. If you got a question, fire it up. It's okay. I'm an instructor. I'm used to that happening every time I teach a class. And I'm a full-time trainer. I do a little consulting because I've always got people that are planning on implementing Office 365. A lot of what I deal with are going to be people that are primarily exchange is one of my areas of focus. So I want to talk about that part of it. So we want to talk about the exam objectives. We're not going to really talk about the exam objectives. Those are online. I want to talk a little bit more about some of the other details, which I think are a little bit more important. So what you're going to see on any of this, 40 to 60 questions. Something that many of you probably already know is that some of those questions are just trial questions. They don't really count on the exam. Sometimes they're fairly easy to spot. But you're going to see just questions. You got to score 700 to pass. I remember when I saw those case study questions, those frustrated me. You know, you get 4 or 5 questions on one case study, then you move on to the other case study, and then you see the one clue and you realize, oh no, I just botched that one question. I'd really like to go back to that, and you can't. That frustrates me just like it frustrates anybody else. But 700 is the score. And my experience with this, I thought 346 and 347 were probably two of the most challenging exams I've ever had to deal with in my career. I was the kind of guy that went probably 10 years passing certification exams the first time. It was primarily after I joined the training center that I work with now. And then it was about 2012 that I don't know what happened. Maybe it's just me getting old. I hope not. Am I full? What color are my eyes? Are they blue or brown? Okay. What's that? Nebulous. That's a good word. Sometimes, you know, you could look at a question and then you see an answer and there's clarity. And now you see some questions that you go, okay, change this one parameter on the user account. Which three of these six commands are possible for changing that parameter? And one of them you've used all the time. There's another one that you're pretty sure works, and then there's the others that you're going, oh, because you hadn't used those, right? Yeah, I that's frustrating for me as well. So all questions have a consistent anatomy. Okay, I didn't write that part. Some of these slides came to me from Microsoft, and I was going, I don't know that I'd call it anatomy. But yeah, they should be all have a similar structure. You're going to have business problems. You're going to have goal statements. You're going to have one or multiple correct answers. You're going to see questions that the ones I like are the ones that say pick these three steps as opposed to pick all the steps, because I know I'm going to get one of them wrong. I get frustrated with those like anybody else. And distractors. Yeah, and some of those distractors are just way too close to a real answer. I get it. Questions are not intended to trick you. I'm sorry, could you say that? Could you cough clearly into the microphone? We want to get that for posterity purposes. Yeah, I heard that. I get frustrated when I don't pass. And it seems to be happening more. And I've had to buckle down. The real issue from my perspective, and I want to get to this, okay, this right here. The part that gets to me, and this is something, you know, before we started at 9 o'clock, I was kind of talking with everybody. We've spent so many years becoming specialists, and now we're having to go back to being generalists. I'm an exchange guy. How many of you have the copy of the book Mastering Exchange Server 2013? Okay, I did four of those chapters. I'm very proud of that. Oh, I got to watch they sing that too. That sounds wrong. Believe me, I'm very proud of this. Okay. The other area that I've spent quite a bit of time in the last few years has been Link and Skype for Business. I'm not a SharePoint guy. I've never taught a SharePoint class. I've sat one class, and I probably spent my time in the back of the room, you know, returning emails and playing Settlers of Catan online. Well, that's where they make the back of the room, right? And so now I've had to go back and I've got to learn something that I don't have a great deal of comfort with. And the other thing that I know that many of us have to deal with is one of the other challenges. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, I taught all the Office applications. That was like 1994. I taught Excel, I taught Word, I taught PowerPoint. But like I said, that was 94. I haven't done a whole lot with anything like that since. And going back and having to cover things like Office 365 Pro Plus deployment and editing and managing a configuration.xml file is a little bit out of my comfort zone. Am I alone, or are you guys with me on that one? Okay, so I want to just exchange people. Who are the exchange folks? Okay, hands down. Skype for Business folks. Okay. SharePoint. See, but if you had your hand up the first two times, it didn't come up that third time, did it? And then you've also got the Office pros. Who are my Office pros that have to do it? Yeah. So it's a sophisticated, multi-topic exam. It covers such a broad area, and you got to know it all. That's rough, man. That's really rough. I teach the course. The course does a pretty good job laying out a pretty good foundation for the 346 and 347 exams. But it's not everything. So you got to worry about that. Office 365 is a moving target. I don't think a more accurate statement has ever been said about preparing for this certification exam, because you don't know what's going to happen from week to week. Yeah, Office 365 changes, so do the exams. And what you thought you knew last week may have changed. And if you're retaking an exam, you can pretty much bet that you're not going to see the same question that you might have seen the week before, or 2 weeks before, or 30 days before. So that's troublesome. And now we're going through a portal upgrade. Oh joy, oh bliss. Because, you know, it would be easier. I shouldn't say easy, it's not really easy. It would be so much easier if certain things didn't change with an update in the portal. Oh, look, we've updated the portal, they've updated the front end, and guess what's also changed? Some of the roles that you define maybe in SharePoint aren't the same anymore. What are you going to get on the exam? You might get either one. That's what can make this even more challenging. I emphasize procedures. When you go through and prepare for this and you're taking your notes and going through, I saw a gentleman that had the Office 365, the 364 study guide. Was that you? Yeah. Go through that book and take a look at anything that has multiple steps to it. When you're going through TechNet, when you're taking the course, take a look at those procedures that say, oh, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three, here's step four. Get very comfortable with those. The reason I bring that up is that very often, you know, those are going to pop up and you're going to see them in the GUI, but you're also going to see them done in PowerShell as well. What I would emphasize for you is that the PowerShell side is going to change with less frequency than the GUI will. The other part that is going to throw you off relative to this is going to be, which shell do you use? How do you load up the proper module? What do you connect to? Because you'll see that. Wait a minute, that's not how you connect to an administrative session in SharePoint. That's not how you connect to an administrative session with Exchange Online. So that part of it, I know, gets to people, because it got to me. So going through a few things, we know that we start getting into just the basic things here. Provisioning Office 365, getting it out there. What happens with the person who sets up the Office 365 subscription? What happens with them as far as administrative rights? What? Yeah, they're global admin, right? Now, how often is that person, you know, the accountant who's responsible for paying the bill and doesn't do day-to-day administrative work? Okay, so that's the kind of, you know, that's the weird kind of thinking that we have to bring into this. You know, what happens in the real world versus what happens in the Microsoft world, sometimes there's a conversion, sometimes there's a disconnect. But that's one of the things we have to worry about. Network and security, we've got to worry about, you know, implementing and keeping things locked down. Cloud identities. Oh, okay. So one of the other things you're going to have to worry about, obviously, is when we start getting into synchronization of identities in a hybrid deployment. And, well, yeah, and it's great, but, well, the frustration for me is that when I initially took this, we used the old DeerSync, and then all of a sudden we switched over to Azure AD Connect, and now you've got some other things that pop up in there. You know, how do you get into Azure AD Connect and filter out the users in a particular domain or the users in a particular organizational unit or based on a custom attribute? What the hell is going on with my phone? Something's buzzing up here. Yes. That's it, yeah. I don't know, man, this guy came in with a mask and threw a Galaxy Note 7 at us and ran away. Ooh. Okay. Yes. Yes. That's the visual part of the Ignite conference. Yeah. Okay. So we've got that Azure AD Connect. We've got to worry about single sign-on. We've got to worry about how synchronization takes place. You know, because if you learned DeerSync, it was just about 100% of your synchronization was upward, right? But now we've got to worry about more of the things in Azure AD Connect that synchronize up as well as come back down a little bit, because that wasn't happening so much with the old DeerSync, but with Azure AD Connect, we know that's going to happen with your passwords. You know, user changes their password online, that's got to go back and resync with your on-prem implementation. So that's something that, you know, we've got to address. And, yeah. You shouldn't have to anymore. I was talking about, you know, that was my experience with it because I've worked with it so long. Okay. You know, so that's what, oh, okay. Oh, that's okay. I hope everything's okay. His note 7 was ticking. I shouldn't joke about that. Okay, we'll joke about it. That's okay. It's Tuesday morning in IT. This is what we do. Yeah?
What about Yammer or other services?
Know it. You need to, with the additional services, okay, so as far as, you know, day-to-day administration, know your big ones. When it comes to things like the implementation of Yammer, know the why. Why would you want to have Yammer on this in this implementation? I don't, think it really got into just the nuts and bolts of Yammer. You know, obviously you have to know the foundation, what you have to have first before you implement it, but I don't think you really have to worry as much about the nuts and bolts. Now, there are definitely some other areas you have to know nuts and bolts. SharePoint, you got to know nuts and bolts. Exchange, Skype for Business, those types of things you've got to be able to dig in. But with some of the add-ons, not so much. I don't think there's a whole lot here that requires people to know much about, like, the project components in Office 365. So that part of it, maybe, you know, you don't have to allocate as much time for. But knowing when you would use Yammer, knowing when you would use Project, knowing when you'd use the Project Server, knowing when you would want to get somebody a Visio deployment. You know, that part of it I'd want to know. But as far as getting into the actual push, I don't think you have to worry about that one quite so much. Did I answer your question? Okay. Briefly, I'm kidding, that was bad. I can't help it. I didn't sleep well last night. You guys made me nervous. If I'd known it was you guys, I would have been cool. I would have slept much better. But, yeah. So, yeah, provisioning tenants. Knowing the differences, knowing the features that come with individual plans, I think certainly helps. It's just the basic thing. So here's, like, this is a sample question. You will not see this on an exam. But, you know, you have, I wouldn't worry about this question. I wouldn't worry about this answer. I'd worry about this subject. I'd want to go back and make sure that I had a good understanding of what comes into play with each of those individuals. What are the differences between each subscription? You know, when can I get by with an E1? When do I need to go to an E3? What does an E3 bring to me that an E1 or Office 365 home version doesn't have? That's the necessary body language you have to throw in with Office 365 home. Well, it's kind of a baseball thing. It's a going home. Okay. So. These are the questions that they tell me. These are the ones you can show people. Like, these are the ones I would write. The newer ones are going to be having all of the other, yes, absolutely. So I don't emphasize, like I said, I don't emphasize the questions, but knowing where to look and take a look at the Office 365 plans, this is the part that I would say, go look at here. Because what was the first thing I said about Office 365? Office 365 is a moving target. It's gonna change all the time. You can download the slides later. Okay. What's that? Oh. Yes. No. I know how that works on Facebook, man. It's like, yeah, it's like, here's the Bobster meme right here. Okay, no. I know that game. I've done it to people. What's that? Oh, no, it was fun. As far as you know. Okay. I'm not going to share that picture. My wife would kill me. All right, so anyway. This is another one that actually I've got. This is something that you might see, but let me tell you, I would not write the question this way if I were writing it, because I wouldn't be asking you about the one file type. I'd ask you to know both file types, because they're leaving one out here. See, they're getting into, and they've got, you're an administrator of Fabricam.com, everybody's favorite Microsoft domain. Actually, I'm kind of more of an A-datum guy. But host records, text records, SRV records, alias records. What's missing? MX record. Good, I'm glad you guys caught that one. Because that's the kind of thing that I would be asking people. Or I would ask somebody a question about, you're trying to prove ownership, and you haven't been able to get your text record to authenticate. What's your next step? Because I'd want somebody to know that there was the MX record, be one that they could fall back on. Remember when I was first started teaching this class, I just put in both. Because they're very close, very similar when you set them up. So, I'm gonna die up here. Yeah. So I've got live electricity and water. This is always a good choice, right? A bad knee and a place to trip on stage. Okay, get your cameras ready, folks. Okay. But there you get it, text record. So we knew, that one does not have a link to it, but it's kind of thing that I would talk to people about. Configuring DNS for services, enabling client connectivity to Office 365. You got to know your clients. You got to know which clients are going to work. You got to know which clients won't work. You're going to need to know which ones need to be upgraded. You need to know how to check which upgrades have been deployed. And then you get into administering Azure Rights Management, that part of it, of course, you know, defining the role-based access control roles for the individual users, and managing administrator roles, that's all there. And here you get, what is the auto-discover DNS record for Exchange Online? I would not write a question like this, but Exchange Online, so what should be the obvious giveaway in the top three lines? Yeah, about the DNS record. So you had an A record, a text record, and an SRV record. And SRV is one that I'm going to take a close look at, but it's not right. You know, one of the things that we have to worry about are the differences in the way that AutoDiscover is implemented on premises versus the way it gets implemented in Office 365. Because we have to spot those differences. It can be challenging at times. And whereas I see the word auto-discover, I know what I'm thinking. But, you know, remember we talked a little bit about distractors, right? So what has been the primary email service Microsoft's been presenting to us outside of Exchange Online? Outlook.com. So did they reinvent the wheel when they came out with Exchange Online, or did they build on what they already had? They built on what they already had. So autodiscover.outlook.com is probably going to be your best guess. Now, the one that I got to admit, what going through these questions, and by the way, you're all under NDA now, internal only. I don't like the alias reference because we don't have enough information in this question to say, I don't know if that alias is right or not. Now, when you take a look at what they're presenting as the answer, they're including that in there, but I wouldn't do that. That's why I'm telling you, don't pay attention to these questions, but pay attention to what the question itself is addressing, the subject matter. What does get configured? What's happening with auto-discover? How do we set up auto-discover to support our users and our clients? So that's the kind of thing I would focus on. What's funny is I see people in the back of the room waving and go like, are you trying to get my attention? I can't tell. So anyway, but that's the kind of thing. You have to know how to set up DNS for use with Office 365 services. That's the point to take away from that. This one starts getting into some other things too, planning and implementing network security. You need to delegate administrator rights to user one to reset passwords, but user one must not be able to reset passwords of other administrators. Which administrator role must you assign? So what's the point of emphasis here? The point of emphasis would be knowing what the individual administrator roles can do. That's what you want to take away from that. Who can do what? And here they're getting into customizing that. And they're throwing password administrator out there. There's some other roles that can allow that, allow you to do that as well. Yeah. I think you're right. And you see, and I would have been going help desk, but yeah, there's you kind of bring back, going back to the point I was trying to make, know the roles and know what the role, each of the roles do. These questions, you know, when we prepare these sessions, there's some content that I throw in here, there's some other content that comes to me, and I've got to kind of work with what I'm given. If those of you that are MCTs that have ever taught a Microsoft course, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But there's always a challenge. Yeah.
So would those roles be different names between the different
roles? They can be. So that's a. That's, I, yeah, and that's. Oh, now you're. Oh. No. Yes, that is a pet peeve of mine. I'm 53. I don't like change anymore. I'm going home. My wife's going to be home for a week with a kid. I know that things are going to get changed around, and I'm not going to like it. Like, what happened to my chair? I know where my chair is. At least I know where it was. But I know I'm going to get home, and there's going to be things moved around in the house. My wife will have been watching, what is it? It's Chip and Joanna. On Home and Garden TV, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, dear Lord. Yeah. That's what happens when you got, yeah, my youngest daughter wants to be an architect, so of course, start with our house. While Dad's away, that's always great. I'm going to be tripping over stuff. I did not mean to do that just then. It just kind of worked out that way. So, yeah, managing your identities, managing user and security groups. Now, this is the basic stuff, but you have to know it. And also, that third one is the one you've got to emphasize. Because, like I said, the GUI changes. But the PowerShell does not change with as much frequency. And what's that? Yes, there is. And the other point I guess I would make is that it's not enough to know how to do it one way. Because you're going to find out, you know, set user, well, there's also set CS user. And we've got to worry about, okay, what do they have in common? How are they different? And that's the part that I know can be so frustrating for anybody that's pursuing this certification. Because you've got, you know, what do you do in the regular PowerShell session? Oh, now you flipped over and you're running Skype for Business PowerShell session. And you've got different commands, but sometimes there's some cross-pollination that takes place between those two different modules. And we still have to know them both. I feel your pain. I do. I've been through it. So, managing cloud identities. You want to prevent the company administrator admin one's password from expiring. What PowerShell command will achieve this? And now they're getting get MSOL user, set MSOL user strong. And here, you know, a lot of it's going to come down to, okay, which of these are actual arguments and which ones are distractors? And you know what'll throw you off? One of these might be an answer you've never seen before because it's going to be something that's so far back in TechNet. And it's going to be that last line that you have to scroll over to the right to see that argument because it's like a second level switch. Oh, yeah, I get them. But it's in TechNet. It's valid. It's something that you might see. I shouldn't say might see. Odds are you will probably see one or two really obscure switches just because that's the way it's set up. And, sorry, I don't write these questions. The question again, yeah. I'm going to try to keep from killing myself. Yeah, I, it's... The,
I know they're saying it from the linguistic perspective like that, but...
Uh-huh. I always wonder if the person that writes these for demos actually ever took the exam itself. They probably haven't taught the class, I can tell you that. Yeah. And a part of it, like I said, that's why I emphasize procedure, procedure, procedure. You know, the things that we're going to be doing on a regular basis and how many different ways are there to do them. And you might very well see a question similar to this that'll have two or three correct answers on how to make that modification. It might not be about passwords. It might be about modifying SMTP addresses or leaving an SMTP address alone, but modifying the SIP address because that's what we got to do with Skype for Business. So it's heady. I mean, we're really putting a lot on us to learn this stuff. I'm not kidding. I think, you know, it's been troublesome for me because I've focused on Exchange ever since it was called Microsoft Mail 3.2. Back when we had to take electives. And one of my electives was TCP/IP. Yeah. Man. I think that's when I briefly focused on teaching hardware for Compaq and IBM. Remember, Compaq used to be a company. I've still got a jacket. This one, and it says, you know, get MSOL user. You know what? I'd say start with get MSOL user, just kind of take it from there. And look that up and learn the switches associated with it. Implementing and managing identities by using Azure AD Connect. Yeah, this is, so in my neck of the woods, and I'm out of Kansas City, so I work in Kansas City in Leawood, one of the suburbs. I live in Lawrence. We don't talk about the University of Kansas during football season. It's just not a wise thing to do. We don't go there. Come November, we come to life, but no, not during football season. We won a game this year. Rhode Island, yeah! Okay, so, I know, that's a KU football fan right there. Yeah, we beat Rhode Island, yeah! And then we get probably slaughtered by Iowa State. By never mind. So this tool, the Azure AD Connect tool, I've been impressed with it. It's a solid tool. And this is the second or third generation of these tools that I've had a chance to work with. Know the basics about setting it up. Know the filtration process. You know, what happens if you don't want to have a particular OU uploaded? What comes back down? I would want to be familiar with the attributes. I would want to be familiar with the cleanup, because that's one of the things we have to worry about are going to be illegal characters when we set up and want to set up this hybrid deployment. Because in as much as you're on-prem, Active Directory deployment is going to have certain attributes. You don't use all those same attributes up in the cloud. So there are some that you really have to pay close attention to. There are some that you don't have to worry about quite so much. Yeah. If there is a limit that has a numerical value associated with it, know it. And I'm not talking about just with this. I'm also talking about with things like Skype for business conferences. You know, what's going to be, what are the limits there? Like when you're uploading files, you know, is there a top end limit? Is there a way to modify that? Is there, what am I thinking of? Maximum number of conference default maximum number of attendees. Right, but you see, but you got to know that. Sounds to me like, let's see, how can I say this without violating an NDA? I think considering it's something that we talk about in the course itself, and it's a necessary tool. Yeah. Any of the tools that, you know, I don't know who amongst you has had a chance to take. I was going to say 20346, which is a Microsoft official curriculum course, but that course is been rolled over to 20347. It's essentially the same course, but they just modified the numbers a little bit. So if you have a chance, I know that taking a Microsoft official curriculum course is not something that everybody can afford to do on their own. But if it is a piece of software that's mentioned in a course, you'd want to know when you would use it and why. Especially maybe some of the testing tools, troubleshooting tools. IDFix is one that is prominent, and there are some others. So especially having to do with things like remote connectivity. Yes, write that down. Yes, I would write that one down. Remote connectivity, any testing or reporting tools, absolutely, I'd want to be familiar with those. You need to force the directory synchronization immediately to update the Azure AD with recent changes. What command do you have to run? And there we go. Directory sync client command.exe delta. Okay. Yeah. But like I said, I don't know, is that an exit? Okay. It is. It's a parallel. It's the door into a parallel dimension. Yes, that's what. I'm the guy that puts dementia in multidimensional. Okay. All right. So, understand what's happening with ADFS. ADFS is something you're going to want to spend considerable time on. Yeah, back in the back.
Determine what should be on the exam versus what's currently.
I have no idea. Like I said, that's why I made the comment very early on about it being a moving target. What you're usually going to do with the exams is that they're going to cycle through the questions. So the questions you get today are probably going to be the question pool is probably going to be fairly stable for a couple more months. But if it's been a change that's happened lately, probably you're going to be, that's where you got to go with the best guess maybe sometimes. Hopefully, I know, I hate it. I hate guessing. I really hate guessing. I want to know the answer. But sometimes you're stuck with a question, and you got to take a look at them, and you got to hope that you get the right one. You know, that's why passing is at 700 instead of, you know, 999. I want to, if I recall correctly, the older DeerSync stuff is no longer. What is on the other side of that door? Like applesauce. I have no idea. Okay. So, anyway. But you get ADFS, obviously, setting up ADFS servers, proxy servers. That's all, and best practices for implementing ADFS. You know, if you're going to be implementing an ADFS implementation, even if it's a smaller implementation, do you want to go with a single server deployment or do you want to set up a farm? Why would you want to set up a farm? You only need the one server, right? Oh, HA. I like that. Good combination of letters. No, it is. HA, there's a lot said right there with those two letters HA. Yeah, because even if you don't need to have multiple servers today, you might need them tomorrow. And if you set up ADFS with only a single server, you're not going to have that option. You know, so putting up a server farm where you can add another server down the road for availability is going to be a better choice. You're worried about security. Is setting up an ADFS proxy a good idea then, maybe? Yeah. Yeah. You can set that up there in your perimeter network. I say perimeter network. I know some people say DMZ. Both my brothers were in the military. I couldn't go in, but high availability, or DMZ means something very different to them. Tell that to North Korea. Okay, so. And there are 25 websites. Okay. I thought that was funny when I read that. It's like they've got the internet from 1974. Okay, so what port do you have to open up between the ADFS proxies and the ADFS servers? 443, that's nice. We use HTTPS. What's that? I like the, yes, I do too. I wish there were more of them. I'd like 70% of them to be easy. Yeah. That's all. I don't have to have 75% easy questions. I only need 70% easy questions. Reports, health, obviously. When it comes to observing health in Office 365, know the different ways that Office 365 provides you feedback about what's happening with those services. You know what's happening with the various arrows and boxes and switches and funny little symbols that pop up from time to time. Not saying you'll see something like that, but it's something that I would, yeah, it might be a good idea. You know, just to share with the family. And then once again, another, where will can, yes, I Hi, I'm Bob. I've got a degree in English, and I wrote this question. No, I didn't. No, I didn't do this. Where will Can You View real-time information about service incidents or planned maintenance events? I don't know. Where will Can You find it? Yeah. Yeah, I'm an RSS fan. That helps out. Wow, my echo changes when I switch over here behind the table, doesn't it? Okay. Other preparation resources. So there's this gentleman had the Microsoft Press book on preparing for the 70-346 exam. Not bad, but the thing you might run into with that is that that book's already been out 18 months, I think. So it's probably a little bit dated, but once again, the things that I would primarily focus on, procedures, PowerShell, that stuff really doesn't change that much. Yeah?
I took out the online book, that changed dramatically with the exchange, right?
I haven't checked. Sorry, I'm honest. I haven't checked. Now, what I would probably check out, you know, how many of you are planning on trying to bump this exam out this week while you're here? How many of you going to, do they have the measure up across the way with the 346?
Yeah,
they do. Have you taken a look at it? What'd you think?
Very hard.
Good. So, yeah, go hit the study hall across the way. And could you check out those 70-346 exam questions? And once again, focus on the subject. Focus on the procedures. That's the thing that I'd probably take away from that. But I'm a bookish kind of person. You know, I'm the guy that's got probably 4,000 titles in his Kindle, or my Kindle software that I've got on my tablet Surface. So the books that are up here listed, 70-346 and 70-347, I know that they're both readily available. Either from Microsoft Press, I know that some of you have other sources for your books. I've got an Amazon Prime account, so I go through books like other things go through a goose. But, you know, it could be portable and cheap, but it could be out of date. I think one of the things that I would want to take a look at that MeasureUp, because I think MeasureUp's done a pretty good job trying to stay ahead of it a little bit. Yeah. Well, that's what you want to do. You want to take. You don't want to take a canned, prefab, simple exam that builds your ego up, and then go take the actual exam and get kicked in the kidneys. You know, that's not fun. I've been kicked in the kidneys. That's not fun. Those of you with children know what I'm talking about. You get to get kicked in the kidneys a lot. Your number three's on the way? Oh, no, they jump up into daddy's lap too, don't they? They lead with the knee. I hate that. Oh, yeah. Daddy! Flunk. Oh. Yeah. Minor 19, 18, and 15. I don't have to worry about that anymore, except when the 19-year-old needs money. She's good at that. Oh, yeah, I've got two daughters that are both in college. One of them, full academic ride, has extra money. She doesn't need anything. The other one, no, she still needs daddy. And she, oh, boy. I get played. Daddy, I need a Surface tablet. Well, she did. She's an architecture major. So, yeah, she wants the pen. Because that pen, like 1,000 different degrees of pressure, yeah. It's like the oldest daughter, yeah, spent $800 on her laptop. The other one, $2,700 on that laptop. Yeah. Anyway, check out Microsoft Virtual Academy. MVA does a pretty good job. And one of the things that MVA is doing right now is that they're going through some changes as far as how they're presenting the content. relative to the exams. So they're trying to stay more current because they know that Office 365 has some of these challenges. Office 365 and Azure are driving those folks up the wall because they're changing faster than they can get new content out there to in support of those services. But I spoke with the guy that's in charge of MVA, and that is something that he is very actively working on, to the point where he was recruiting talent this weekend, talking with trainers about helping out, providing that content and keeping it up to date. Getting away from the hour-long MVA courses to where they're 10 minutes this topic, 10 minutes this topic, and trying to keep it on a faster refresh cycle. So that's one thing I would also look for. And I know that, you know, relative to online courses, this one isn't in the deck. But I know some of the people that work at another education company, and they put out some pretty solid content. And if I had had some trouble preparing for the 346 to 347, I would probably look into maybe sitting a plural site. They put out some good content. I know those folks, and I think they do a very professional job creating. They're much more professional than I am up here. I mean, I'm talking with friends. Plural site, PLURALS, what? SIGHT, yeah. Yeah, I worked with a couple other folks on some other things. Jay Peter Bruzzese's their MVP for Exchange, and he's the one that actually got me involved in the Mastering Exchange Server 2013 book. He was the technical editor, and he had more work than he could handle, so threw four chapters at me. Instructor-led training. The thing about this, being one of the guys that does the instructor-led training, I don't like surprises, but with Office 365, it's unavoidable. You know, you teach a class 1 week, it rolls over to the next week, and all of a sudden, the lab that you did last month has changed, and there's a few more. The PowerShell probably hasn't changed, but some of the stuff in the GUI has probably been tweaked a little bit. I've had that experience. I tell you what, one time I was doing a session for Microsoft on Office 365. It was a one-day session showing the features and benefits of Office 365, and they were doing this at the time that they were doing rolling blackouts. So that day didn't go quite the way I planned. I spent a lot of time explaining and not much time showing. But the one thing that I would probably say about the instructors teaching this, we're going to learn how to deal with the problems on the fly. And it can be challenging. I've certainly had challenges with this course, but you know what? Every single lab has worked for just about all of my students. I had a couple of students that probably weren't ready to tackle a course like this, that had some issues, especially with the PowerShell side of it. But every lab I've run has worked. So, and you know what? I've had some classes I haven't been able to say that. I can say that with this. There were some that, you know, having been a trainer for 20 years, or, well, geez, 20, what decade is this? 24, 23 years? This is 2016, right? Okay, well, okay. Yeah. So I've been training actively since 92, 93, so. Yes. Yeah, for a long time, the only course that was available was 20346. And then I want to say in April of this year, they refreshed the course and they just renamed it 20347. So that's kind of the big change there. Yeah. Got a few more minutes yet. Practice test, measure up is, I believe, the only option these days. But you know what? It says where it says it can be out of date. Like I said, they're doing a better job. And I would tell any of you, go check out the study hall across the way. It's a nice, quiet place. Bring your earbuds, bring some music, you know, just kick back for a little bit. Take a practice exam. You don't have to pay for it. It's right there. I mean, I like free across the hallway. Yeah, over where it says study hall. Just pop in there, introduce yourself, and grab a seat. And it's, you know, woof down lunch one day and just spend the extra time in the study hall. You don't want to be around, yeah, you don't want to be around me when I'm eating. I leave a debris field. I did pretty good this morning. I didn't need bacon on my shirt or anything like that. I did okay. But, yeah, that's a yes, life is a series of minor victories. I found bacon. Hot damn. Okay, so this is just about mandatory for anybody. Obviously, if you're going to be trying to get certified on Office 365, you need to have access to Office 365. Don't use your production copy of Office 365. What? Love this guy. Get yourself a 30-day eval copy and blow it up. They're ready for you. They're ready for you. It's not that big a deal. Cancel your credit card at the end of the process. Yeah. Well, you don't want to leave it open. I had a guy do that by mistake. The first time I taught the class was still when we were people were signing up and putting in some of their information. One guy used his personal account that was already registered, and he had his credit card on it, and then he got a bill. Now, what was good is that he was in one of the early Office 365 courses. They knew they were having some trouble with stuff like that. And he works for a pretty good-sized consulting firm. And they didn't want to make people angry. So Microsoft remediated the problem, and I appreciated that. And he had a better experience because of it. He also learned a very valuable lesson. Don't do that again. Yes. But yeah, get yourself a trial. And pound away at it. Dive into TechNet. Create a notebook or a OneNote notebook of your own and copy and paste everything into it. Know what the commands are. Know what the switches are. Get comfortable with things that you're not used to being comfortable with. For me, like I said, my background, I had to get comfortable with SharePoint. I had to get comfortable with Office 365 Pro Plus deployment. And the related tools, the Office Deployment Toolkit, things of those natures, and the configuration.xml file, and knowing the differences between 32-bit Excel and 64-bit Excel, because there are some. Know the exclusion arguments. There's some oddball ones. I think they've modified the exclusion command for OneDrive for Business since I took it, because it... Do you guys know, is it still, do you exclude Groove, or is it exclude, do they change that? It's still Groove. Yeah, isn't that bizarre?
If you want to go back into the code and change it all, so they just get the reference.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, no. Groove. Because, you know what, if somebody at first blush saw that, they'd say, well, that can't be right. I mean, what is this Groove business? Like, who's somebody making references to an Earth, Wind, and Fire song? I don't know. It was a good song.
Let roll the night.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I'm an entertainer at heart. Okay, so, yeah. I don't know that we need to worry about passing around a microphone, but here's me. BeWrenchAtCentric.com. Centric Training is where I work in Kansas City. I don't plan on leaving anytime in the near future, because now that I've passed these exams, they got to keep me. They don't want anybody, nobody else wants to take these certification exams. We're a managed partner. Somebody's got to be certified. I got to remember that next time I come for my review. So how much would it cost to replace me? No, I am blessed. I work for a great training center, surrounded by a lot of great people, and I get a chance in my job to meet a lot of cool people like you guys. And I'm not brown nosing. Well, maybe a little, but you guys evaluate me, right? I'm available. If you guys have questions, like I said, after this one, we're going to be covering 347. We've got about another 7 minutes, and I'm going to hang out. You know, I like interacting with y'all. Yeah, sorry, that's that Midwestern thing coming out there. I'm a y'all guy. Yeah. Are all the questions weighted the same? I don't believe so. That's the best answer I can give you. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Sorry I didn't get everybody's name. Tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, I'll be upstairs in Microsoft Learning from 11 until 2. So if any of y'all want to get a hold of me, I'll be up there. I'll also be at the MCP party tonight for those of you that are going. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I'm not going anyplace. I'm here for the next session, too.